And welcome back in, folks. A minute 43 to go in the third quarter. We apologize to those. We just may have lost connection here. It is 29-13 as the Horns go 72 yards in seven plays. Took 3:21 to do it. It was Hyman Drinkard from a yard out. PAT was the snap was mishandled. No good. 29-13. First play for Elsick in this sequence was a go route. Man got behind Stephen Woods and Ivory missed the throw incomplete, and then on second down right here, it's Ivory connecting with Desmond Teeler for a 9-yard catch up to the 34-yard line where it'll bring up third and a yard with a minute to go in the third quarter.
And a big third and a yard play here, Chris, because now with that missed extra point and it still being technically a two-score game, this is a big potential conversion for the Rams.
Ivory in trouble, but no problem as he avoids two and three would-be tacklers in the Rams' backfield and makes his way up to the 40-yard line. And that is another Rams first down.
The best adjective I can use to describe Quincy Ivory when he runs the ball, Chris, is he's just slippery. You just can't get him down. It looks like you've got him dead to rights in the backfield. He'll sidestep left or right. He'll jump cut. He kind of turns sideways and gets skinny going through there. And next thing you know, he's pushed it up past the first down marker, and that's a big new set of downs for the Rams.
He got six to move the sticks. It's Haley on a sweep left. He's up to midfield, and Stephen Woods is able to bring him down. But if Stephen Woods is making the tackle from the opposite side of the formation, you know it's a big run. And that it was a gain of 21 yards.
Yeah, and Quincy Ivory really has taken it to extreme as far as the amount of time he leaves that ball in the gut of the running back. He was literally running side by side with David Haley for about the first 5 or 6 yards of that until he finally let go of the football and let Haley take it. Even then, he still had that option of pulling the ball out and running with it himself. Just a really adept at running the zone read.
And that was the last play of quarter three. We will go to the fourth. Put your fours up, folks. Elsick on the move, trailing by 16. First and 10 when we come back for fourth quarter action.
So why do teenagers play high school sports?
My reason why is a sense of purpose.
My reason why is to inspire others.
One reason student athletes seldom mention is to get an athletic scholarship. They know that only 2% of all high school athletes are awarded a sports scholarship. So why do they play?
My reason why is friendship.
Tell us your reason using the hashtag MyReasonWhy.
This message presented by the NFHS and the Texas University Interscholastic League.
Question. When you walk into the boardrooms of the most successful companies here in Texas, who do you meet? Answer. Men and women who play high school sports. Education-based high school sports give us more than athletes we can root for. They give us leaders we can depend on. Question. So where will we find tomorrow's leaders? Answer. High school sports.
This message presented by the Texas University Interscholastic League and the Texas High School Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to live George Ranch High School football with Chris Elliott and Jason Ford on GRHS iRadio.
First and 10, deep throw, ball is underthrown, and it's going to be intercepted on the carom. It is Q, Quentin Montgomery on an acrobatic heads up and aware play by the DB who came from the other side of the field. He was not the cover man. Credit on the play to the cover man who caused the ball to pop up in the air and gave Montgomery a chance to come in, white knight the deal at the last minute and get his third INT of the season.
Yep, Chris, and that's at least the second time tonight that the Horns have been the beneficiary of a ball just staying in the air a little too long. That receiver for the Rams was open, and that looked like it could be a touchdown when it left the quarterback's hands, but the amount of time it traveled in the air gave the Longhorn defensive backs time to react.
Horns have it from their 20 as it'll go down as a touchback. Sam high snap, gives the drinking around left, cuts back, and he meets face-to-face with one of the D linemen for Elsick. Try and get you a number. I believe that's 71 again, and it is, as he's done a good job here in this second half of causing Drinker at least a little bit of trouble. That's the sophomore, Chris Garrett. That's another talented sophomore to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's a couple times that we've called Chris Garrett's name, big number 71. He's done a nice job not allowing Drinker to get past the line of scrimmage from his left defensive end position.
Gain of a yard, and Drinker earned every inch of that one. Second and 9 from their 21 with under 11 to play in the ball game. And we've got a pre-snap whistle, and Coach Sardinia wants to talk about it. 11:07, timeout on the field. We'll take it with them. Horns lead at 29-13.
If you're into sports, especially high school sports, then the Fort Bend Herald is for you. The Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892, covers area high school sports like no other paper around. And for as little as $9 a month, you can have it delivered right to your door 6 days a week. And with every subscription, you have immediate access to the paper's online edition at no extra cost. So if you're into high school sports, the Fort Bend Herald's sports pages are for you. To subscribe, go to fbherald.com, pay online to activate your subscription. You can also begin receiving the Fort Bend Herald by...
Welcome back in. Second and 9, 11:07 to go in the ballgame. Drinker bounces right and trucks a man at the 24. And continues forward to the 26, almost the 27. And number 20, Robert Wilson, the senior DB, is going to feel that one tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not sure I wouldn't take defensive back Robert Wilson for the Rams and possibly take him into the tent for a concussion protocol. I mean, he flat got run over by Hyman Drinker, went backward, and unfortunately, I think his head bounced off the turf. That was a vicious hit he took.
And credit to that young man as he popped up and he's in the defensive formation here. Third and 4, Drinker in the middle is not going to get it. So Coach Cavallo goes to the run game in his own inside his own 30-yard line on third and medium. And credit to the Rams D.
Yeah, and guess who came around the edge and made that tackle? It was number 20, Robert Wilson, who wanted to show me that he was just fine. So that's a big stop for the Rams defense. They're going to be able to give the ball back to their offense. And look, their offense was moving the ball well. They tried to take a shot, deep shot in the end zone, and that's when the interception happened. But I would not be shocked to see them go back to that zone read and just run the football.
Wiggum stands at his 17, gets off a wobbler, is going to land up at the 43-yard line, take a horns bounce all the way down to the 32-yard line. That's a 35-yard punt from Wiggum. No return. And 9:35 to go in the ballgame. The Horns lead it by 2 touchdowns and 2 2-point conversions.
And if you're the Rams here, you don't want to outsmart yourselves like I think they kind of did on that last drive. I mean, look, the last 2 times they've had the football, they have run the ball extremely effectively with that sort of two-man show of Quincy Ivory and David Haley running that zone read. I think they go back to that, trying to reestablish that. Look, there's plenty of time on the clock. I don't think they need to take huge shots down the field when they have it. It generally has not gone well for them.
Quincy, low snap, throws right, smash screen, ball's caught, couple of blocks up there. Give credit to number 57, Horns linebacker, who came back into the flow, Alonzo Davis, limiting the receiver to 4. We'll give him 5-yard catch and run up to the 37-yard line. 2nd and 5, 9 minutes to go in the ball game. Quincy, movement up front. That's going to cost the Rams 5.
Those penalties will just drive you insane, Chris. I mean, here you are. You've got another, 5-yard gain on first down, 2nd and 5. A lot of things you can do. You have a false start. Now you're back to 2nd and 10, and now it sort of limits you a little bit. Although, again, I think if I'm the Rams, I'm looking to run the football here. I'm looking to use my two biggest weapons that I've had all night, which is Quincy Ivory and David Haley. I think we're going to see more of that zone read or those quarterback keeps.
Second and 10 as they move them back five. Ivory, straight drop, hits his man in the right slot, breaks a tackle. Right flat, I should say, breaks a tackle. And that's a Rams first down. That's an 11-yard catch and run. Catch on the play by Devon Onwemeka.
Yeah, that was 32, Elijah Font, the linebacker for the Horns, who was back there one-on-one, had a chance to make the tackle, unfortunately was not able to get that tackle. That results in the first down, and now the Rams are kind of back in business. They've got a new set of downs to work with.
Ball gets loose and onto the field, a brief timeout. Play clock is continuing to run, actually. Game clock stops at 8:32, and play clock's now under 5 as Ivory goes empty. Straight drop, looking deep, throwing deep, hit as he throws, and overshoots his man as Q is running stride for stride, and the receiver just took a swing at Quentin, who he had to have said something because he didn't touch the receiver. And number 16 is going to have his night come to an end. That's Nathaniel Joseph, the junior, who took a swing at the back of Quentin Montgomery's head on a nothing play.
Yeah, that's a very stupid penalty by that young man, and he's certainly going to hear about that from his coaching staff. That's going to back them up 15 yards. It's also going to remove him from this football game. His night's over. You just can't throw a punch on the football field. And look, when you're punching a guy that has a helmet on, you're really not going to do any damage to anything but your fist anyway. So it's just generally not a good idea for a number of different reasons.
The only thing worse than punching a guy with a helmet on is the guy out there who takes his helmet off during a fight on the football field. So it was an incomplete pass, and it was a nothing play as Quentin was running stride for stride with Nathaniel Joseph again. Ivory was hit as he threw. He still uncorked about a 48-yard throw in the air, but it was a little too far for Joseph, and it had to be Q who said something on the way by that Joseph took great exception to. And as Quentin continued running beyond Joseph, Joseph just reared back and tried to take a swing at him, and he missed.
Yeah, that's a really tough, bitter pill to swallow if you're the Elsick Rams here. Again, we don't have a microphone on the referee, so we're not going to be able to hear the explanation, but they're about to march the ball back 15 yards, and that's a post-play penalty. So, you know, it would have been second and 10, which is certainly not the end of the world, just your run-of-the-mill overthrown ball, incomplete pass. Now you're going to be looking at second and 25, and you've all but possibly killed your drive, and you've taken yourself out of the football game.
And Joseph has made his way underneath this home bleachers into the Rams locker room as he's done for the night. You assume that young man is a starter, or he's definitely obviously in the primary rotation.
You know, and after that touchdown by Hyman Drinkard on that very first play from scrimmage, if you remember, it was Nathaniel Joseph that had gotten free and was running, you know, a nine route, a go route, and were it not for an overthrown ball, would have taken that to the house. So he's kind of the deep threat. He's a big play guy for this offense. And when you're down, you know, 16 points, you need that guy on the field, and they're not going to have him.
And that was an incompletion on second down, so it is third down. Mark off 15. It is third and 25 all the way back from the Rams 27 with 8:26 and holding on that game clock. Straight drop, and Quentin Montgomery just had the easiest interception of the season go right through his hands as the receiver zagged and the quarterback zigged, and he threw it directly to number 8 in white and maroon. That's Quentin Montgomery. He'll get credit for a pass defense. And Coach Sardinia has got the punt unit coming out as it's fourth and a half an acre.
Well, Quentin Montgomery, in fairness to Quincy Ivory, Quentin Montgomery was wide open on the play. Unfortunately, it hit him right in the hands, and sometimes when you're a defensive back, that's not the easiest catch in the world to make.
It's Aguirre on the punt now. He hits a decent one that lands up at the Horns 43, takes a bit of a Rams bounce to the 37-yard line.
You know, Chris, I don't want to keep harping on it, but just an awful, awful play by Nathaniel Joseph to you know, for all intent and purposes, you may have cost your team any chance of getting back into this football game. Look, you're down 16. You need a couple of scores and a couple of two-point conversions. Now, all of a sudden, you take a swing at somebody, you get yourself kicked out of the game, 15-yard penalty, drive killer, and now the Horns have the ball.
Horns take over at their 36 with 7:58. And looking for room around left end and picking up 3 yards is Devion Jenkins. And if you're the Horns, you want that fourth quarter clock to churn out. Even a drive that ends in no score here, if you can get a couple first down and get this thing under about 3-4 minutes, and you really can kind of see the finish line from there. You'd like a 5-minute drive that ends in a touchdown, don't get me wrong.
Well, and these running plays to Devion Jenkins and Hyman Drinker around the edge have been your baby all night long. You want to go back to it and establish that run game.
Sam pops left. Now he's going to escape out to the right. He's got a good gain up close to midfield, and he will jump over a would-be tackler right at midfield and goes out of bounds where he's marked out at the 49-yard line. That's a George Ranch first down.
That's a nice escape by Sam Miller there, and it looks like, yet again, Chris, we've got another player injured on the play.
That's an 11-yard scamper for the junior signal caller, Sam Miller, injured player on the field. Officials timeout with 7:10 remaining in the ballgame. We'll take it with them right here on GRHS, iRadio.com.
So why do teenagers play high school sports?
My reason why is a sense of purpose.
My reason why is to inspire others.
One reason student-athletes seldom mention is to get an athletic scholarship. They know that only 2% of all high school athletes are awarded a sports scholarship. So why do they play?
My reason why is friendship.
Tell us your reason using the hashtag MyReasonWhy.
This message presented by the NFHS and the Texas University Interscholastic League.
You're listening to Live George Ranch High School Football with Chris Elliott and Jason Ford on GRHS iRadio.
And welcome back in as the injured Ram was right there in front of his bench and has now on his feet. And is slowly but surely made his way to the bench. And Coach Sardinia is out on the numbers speaking with the officials. I'm not sure what about. 7:10 to go in your ball game. And the Horns will have it first and 10 in plus territory at the Rams 49-yard line.
By the way, Chris, score update on that Shadow Creek-Foster game at last check, and this was about 20 or 30 minutes ago, so this could have changed, but at last check, it was 21-10, Shadow Creek, 21-10 over Foster.
Single backs to either side. KJ looking for room around left end. He's got five. He makes a man miss. He's out the gate. 30. High steps a man there, and he will be marked out of bounds. All the way back at the 24-yard line. So not quite as much as we thought, but a nifty little run by K.J. White.
Yeah, nice run. Were it not for stepping out of bounds, he certainly was ready to score on that play. But he's made some really nice runs tonight, Chris. K.J. White has run the ball hard, and he has not put the ball on the turf either, which has kind of been his only downfall so far this season. He's had a little bit of issues holding on to the football at times. But he's done a great job. All the running backs have done a nice job running behind that offensive line tonight.
25 yards for KJ, first and 10 at the Elsick 24. Sam gives it to KJ again, breaks one tackle, and unable to elude the second tackle. But KJ able to pick up 3, almost 4 yards credit on the tackle to Devine on Wimeka. We've called that young man's name on both sides of the ball tonight.
Yeah, he's had a nice game for the Rams. And the Horns content with just grinding out yards at this point, Chris. They want to keep that clock moving. If they can get, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards at a time, look, that keeps you right on schedule. You can move the chains. You can chew up clock and hopefully end this drive with another touchdown.
6 minutes. KJ offset to Sam's right. High snap. Sam tips it to himself. Escapes, and he needs to throw it. Breaks a tackle and turns the corner. And he's going to get close to the original, or not the original, to the line of scrimmage on that sequence. Beg your pardon. As it looked to be a big loss and credit to Sam Miller, as that was an athletic play to stiff arm a guy. And that actually is going to go down as no gains. He got all the way back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, a nice job by Sam Miller there to corral that snap. That was almost disastrous for the Horns. It was almost over his head. He was able to reach back and up over his head, tip the ball to himself, and was able to stiff arm a defender and get him off of him just enough to get back to the line of scrimmage.
Sam looks left. He's in trouble. Avoids a man. Deep late throw. Jump ball in the end zone, and it is caught. Marker comes in very late. I believe that's Falkway down there. And it is, and that will go down as a touchdown, barring the penalty. And certainly that can't be offensive pass interference, and it doesn't appear to be. It'll be a 21-yard touchdown if it stands.
Looks like we might have a flag in the offensive backfield as well, Chris. So that could be one of two things. That could be a hold on us, or it could be a late hit on Sam. I think we might have offsetting penalties here. We may be doing this one over again.
We do have holding on the offense, pass interference on the defense, and so that will be offsetting, as Jay Ford indicated, and we'll replay 3rd and 7 from the Elsick 21. You wonder if Coach Cavallo would attempt what is from here a 40-yard attempt by Villa Gomez. 3rd and 6, Sam, straight drop. He's going to try to escape, and he will be sacked back at the 25-yard line as they blow the play dead in the grasp of number 64, Nicholas Lurch, the senior. And if I'm filling out a D-line name, I might have a guy named Lurch in my D-line.
That is a great name for a defensive lineman. You know, I think the Horns are probably going to go for it here, Chris, even though it's 4th and about 11. You're really in no man's land. I mean, you're at the 25-yard line, especially with the wind. I don't think you're going to try about a 42-yard field goal. You don't want to punt because at best you're going to gain maybe 10 or 12 yards of field position. I think they're going to go for it just really as a product of where they are on the field.
4th and 11, trips right, left rather. Sam's going to roll left. He's got time to throw. Plants his foot. High ball is caught at the 15, and that's a first down. As falling to the 14, almost the 13-yard line, I believe is number 82. And is there another flag down?
Yeah, I believe we do have another flag down back behind the line of scrimmage and over by the sideline, which could be a hold on the edge. It could be some kind of formation penalty. I don't know. We're going to have to see.
It was Donovan Dixon making the catch. Coach Jones. And the basketball staff know Mr. Dixon all too well, as that young man is a sophomore. I believe that's the same one that's on the basketball team. I could be wrong. And that will erase a really nice fourth down conversion. And we're still waiting on the illegal man downfield is the call. As Sam was rolling left, and one of the Hogs just got a little bit too far down. They didn't need to because it was not a screen or anything like that. But you got to give credit right there to Sam Miller as he made a good read and a good throw a little high. I'll give him that. And the sophomore Dixon went up and made the catch. And unfortunately, they did make the catch, as at least you have another chance here. It's now 4th and 15. Sam, straight drop, deep throw, looking for Ross inside the 5. And incomplete, a little bit of contact down there, no whistle. Ball was underthrown. Ross got his mitts on it. Credit on the coverage to Lionel Galden. And that's a turnover on downs with 4:40 left on that game clock. And the Horns still holding a 16-point lead.
Yep, and you can live with that if you're the Longhorns, even though that drive did not end up in points, and even though you ended up, you know, having to go for it on 4th and 15, and obviously you didn't convert. What you were able to do is chew up a little more time. So now it's 4 minutes, 40 seconds left on the clock. You still got a 16-point lead, which is two scores and two-point conversions. So the clock is your friend. You're still in control of this football game. And look, the Elsick offense tonight has not been one that's really been able to bite off huge chunks of yards. They're going to have to move it kind of slowly if they're going to move it.
It was a 7-play drive and deep throw and double coverage incomplete. It was a 7-play drive that took 3:18 off that fourth quarter clock, ended on a turnover on downs, and on 1st and 10 from their 30, it's Quincy Ivory on an incompletion.
Yeah, if I'm the Elsick Rams here, Chris, what I would probably do is spread the formation, maybe put 4 wide, but then I'd probably take my very talented running quarterback, Quincy Ivory, and maybe run him on just some design quarterback draws. I think that's really their best chance to move the football. And on the flip side, if I'm the Longhorn defense, I'm going to take a linebacker, and I'm probably going to spy him and make sure that I don't allow him to beat me.
And just as we say that, there's a penalty. And so it must have been a hold because they backed him up 10 yards, 1st and 20. Swing pass to Haley. He's got the 10 back, and then he'll pick up another 3 yards. And so what would have been 2nd and 10 after an incompletion, Cavallo takes the hold, and then a nice little 13-yard pass to Haley, and that'll set up 2nd and 7 from the 33. Ivory, straight drop, looks left, throws left, overshoots his man. Woods was right there in coverage. As it was Desmond Teeler, the intended target, 3rd and 6.
When Ivory has missed tonight, Chris, he's generally missed high. He's generally overthrown his receivers a little bit. He's made some really nice throws on the shorter routes, and I think that might be more what they look for here.
Clock stop at 3:58, 3rd and 6. Ball's caught in the left flat, and making his way to the 43-yard line and moving the chains is number 12, Divine Unwemeka. As Divine may drive the bus also.
He's played well at running back. He's played well on the defensive line. He's had a good game on both sides of the ball, Chris.
10 yards on the completion. First down, same play, but ain't broke, don't break. And then a flag comes out. As I'm not sure if there was a pick action or perhaps an illegal formation, but the linesman right on the near side, offensive left. And that is going to be an illegal formation. And that'll back the Rams up 5 yards.
I don't know that I would take this penalty, Chris. I would prefer 2nd and 10 probably to 1st and 15. It looks like they're going to go ahead and take it, but I think they're backing them up 10 yards on an illegal formation.
I don't know.
I don't either. Hey, we'll take it. I mean, that's a bank error in the Horns' favor.
It may not have been legal formation. I don't know. It may have been a hold. Quarterback draw. Ivory looking for room around left end. Nice little runs. He cruises out of bounds, all the way up the 45-yard line. And, I mean, I'm not even sure what down it is anymore, Jay Ford.
But that's exactly the play I was looking for a minute or two ago. Again, spread the defense out, you know, go 4 wide, but then get Ivory on a design quarterback draw. You know, he's only really going to have to make one defender miss probably, and he's shown a marked propensity to be able to do that. So I think that's a good game plan if the Rams stick with it here on this drive.
It was first and 20. That was a 12-yard run. Ivory's going to throw. Now he's going to try to escape. Still looking downfield. He's going to take off and run down the near sideline where he's tripped up and a flag comes in very late. Credit on the play. Tackle by number 34, Bryce Dotson. And we'll check the spot and then we'll check the flag. They're going to give him the 48.
I'm going to watch the referee very, very closely, Chris, because I don't want to miss what the call is.
It's a 3-yard run from Ivory, and that's another blocking infraction. I couldn't tell if that was a hold or an illegal block in the back.
I was watching him like a hawk. It was the holding, the signal for offensive holding, Chris, unless he changes his mind here.
Well, there's not much difference. Is it open hand or the closed hand? And Coach Cavallo will take the penalty.
And now we're going to play the game of how many yards do we mark off. It looks like they marked off 10 from the spot of the foul because it did occur about 5-6 yards downfield. So the net of it, Chris, is I think they're looking at about 2nd and 15.
Second and 15 is correct from the 38. Now the white hat is trying to signal to the play clock where to put the game clock back.
I think he wants 3:16. It's at 3:12. I believe I saw him. Well, 3:25. I guess he decided that was close enough.
Close enough. 3:26. 3:26.
3:26.
So
okay.
You thought 3:16.
I saw the 6. So 3:26. Okay. I'll buy that.
Trips way out wide right. Single back offset to Ivory's right now is Darius Ruiz. Fake a give to Ruiz. And the ball's nearly picked off. As cutting underneath the intended target was number 40, Derek Simon, the senior linebacker. And Jay Ford, if he caught it, he may have taken it to the house.
Yeah, I think that might have been why he didn't catch it. I think he had visions of a touchdown dance in his head, and all of a sudden he looked down and he didn't have the football in his hands.
3:15, clock is stopped, 3rd and 15. There's some symmetry there, folks.
And it's getting to be desperation time for the Rams here, Chris. They are looking desperately for something that will get them a chunk of yardage here.
Quincy, delay throw. Ball is caught, and he'll be gang tackled up at the 45-yard line. It was 3rd and 15. That's going to be a gain of 7. Receiver is number 88, Paris Falls. And that will bring up a 4th, and we'll call it 7 from the 46. 2:56 to go in the ballgame. Tyvon on the field will take it with him. It'll be 4th and 7 when we come back on GRHSiRadio.com.
Question. When you walk into the boardrooms of the most successful companies here in Texas, who do you meet? Answer. Men and women who play high school sports. Education-based high school sports give us more than athletes we can root for. They give us leaders we can depend on. Question. So where will we find tomorrow's leaders? Answer. High school sports.
This message presented by the Texas University Interscholastic League and the Texas High School Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Live George Ranch High School Football with Chris Elliott and Jason Ford on GRHS iRadio.
And welcome back in. 2:56 to go in the ballgame. Horns lead it by 16. 4th down from their 46-yard line. The Rams need the George Ranch 47. We'll call it 7 yards. Low snap. Swing it out. Haley's got it. Midfield. He'll be stood up right there. And that young man just earned himself a 1st down.
Wow.
As he was a yard and a half short of the line to gain. And that freshman pushed the defender, number 21, Jalen Belford, 2 yards and got the 1st down.
That is a freshman. That is a freshman running back out there pushing a defender. And he did not have any help. He didn't have one of his friends come up behind him and push him. He did that all on his own, and what a great second effort to get that first down and at least give the Rams a little bit of life. And this may come as a shock to you, Chris, but it looks like we have some confusion amongst the officiating crew.
So they are going to measure now, as it looked very clear from this vantage point that Haley had enough for the first down.
He got a terrible spot, Chris. He got it.
Now, I wanted to say this a moment ago. Belfort stood him up and pushed him backwards initially. And you wonder if that is not enough to constitute forward progress. They did not, however, blow the whistle. And they've measured, and it is a first down.
Yeah, and I think you have to play to the whistle. Even though it looked like he was stood up, look, we've seen guys like Hyman Drinkard on our side of the ball initially look like they were stood up and then be able to wiggle and spin out of it and get a couple more yards. So, I like to see that effort by David Haley was rewarded. That was a great individual effort at the end of that play.
That it was. First and 10 from the Horns, 47. They needed the 47. They got the 47. Just barely. Trips to the wide side right. Quincy drops. Now he's going to escape. He's going to pump fake and run. He's off to the races inside the 40. And it'll be Steven Woods who bumps him out of bounds up at the 32-yard line, but not until after another gash run from Quincy Ivory.
And, Chris, just a quick score update. It is a final from Trailer Stadium. Shadow Creek 24, Foster 17.
So a big matchup in 10-5A Division I goes the way of the Sharks again. That's three in a row. All, to my knowledge, one-score deficits for Foster. The previous two last year, one regular season, one in the regional finals, they had four-quarter leads. Not today. Quincy falls. And he'll be marked down for a sack all the way at the 40-yard line. As he slipped as he tried to escape. Credit on the play, there were two horns in his face. 51, Cameron Solomon, and 58, Drayden Fields. And the clock is continuing to move as that's a big loss of 8 yards.
Yeah, I almost think they blew the whistle a little too soon there because even though he slipped, I don't know that I saw a knee or an elbow go down. His foot kind of went sideways, but... regardless of what I think, it was blown dead, and that's a loss for the Rams.
11th play of the drive. High throw ball is caught in traffic, and Woods is able to wrest it out of the receiver's hands, but it falls out of bounds. Real nice throw there from QI. And that's going to be, after the loss of 8, that's going to be a catch of 6. Third and 12 from the Horns 34. And this minute 55 to go.
This is where the Rams miss having a guy like Nathaniel Joseph out there. Again, that was the young man that got himself kicked out of the game by throwing a punch. They would sure like to have him right about now.
QI, straight drop, looks right, throws right, seam, and ball is dropped. A little bit of traffic in the area. But it was Paris Falls who sat down in that zone, tried to make a two-hand catch while he was trying to make a move. And you know, when you run before you catch it, what happens? It was third and 12. And that incompletion is going to set up a fourth and 12. And this is, I believe, unofficially the 12th play of the drive.
Paris has a chance at glory, but Paris falls.
Wow.
Sorry.
Timeout on the field. A minute 51. Officials timeout. We'll take it with them. We come back. It's fourth and long again with a minute 51 to go in the ballgame.
So why do teenagers play high school sports?
My reason why is a sense of purpose.
My reason why is to inspire others.
One reason student athletes seldom mention is to get an athletic scholarship. They know that only 2% of all high school athletes are awarded a sports scholarship. So why do they play?
My reason why is friendship.
Tell us your reason using the hashtag MyReasonWhy.
This message presented by the NFHS and the Texas University Interscholastic League.
If you're into sports, especially high school sports, then the Fort Bend Herald is for you. The Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892, covers area high school sports like no...
Hello, fans. I'm Brett Dolden from Root Sports and ESPN3, and I listen to GRHS iRadio.
Fourth and 12. Ivory being chased, and he'll be sacked. As he tried to escape out to his right, and Cameron Solomon, we called his play on the previous play. And it's Solomon with a big-time sack up near midfield. They'll mark him down at the George Ranch 47-yard line, where with a minute and 43 to sec left in the ball game, Miller and the Horns offense will take over.
Yeah, and I think barring the Rams deciding to use a couple of timeouts on the defensive side of the ball, I think the Horns can just get into victory formation and take a knee here. I think they'll go ahead and hand the ball off until and unless they see that the Rams are waving the white flag, though.
That was a 12-play drive for the Rams, and they end up on the Horns' 47-yard line. Handoff. And twisting and turning around right in and making his way into Rams territory is number 89. And he is currently not on my roster. So the young player, presumably, and he's got a nice 4-yard run. Another run inside. As you assume, Coach Cavallo just maybe wants to pick up one first down, then go into victory formation. Four more yards for the unknown running back. High snap. He's got it again. He's got a first down up to the Rams' 40-yard line. And you think that might do it. And that's three consecutive 4-yard runs for that young man. And despite the fact that they are not going to stop the clock for any reason, although it is currently, you know, it is cranked, Horns just need to run one more play, and that could be a kneel down, which it looks like that may be the case here. As Miller's under center, he's going to take it and take a knee, and no way Coach Sardinia will take a timeout. He does not, and that will do it. A back and forth, topsy-turvy district matchup goes the way of the Horns. Final score, 29-13. George Ranch moves to 3-1 in district play with just two games remaining on their district schedule, and both of them will be good ones. Halloween home game versus Strake, and then the season finale at the Rig against Coach Tullis and the Pearland Oilers. 29-13, your final. We'll take a quick break, and Jay Ford and I will come back and wrap this one up from Crump.
If you're into sports, especially high school sports, then the Fort Bend Herald is for you. The Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892, covers area high school sports like no other paper around. And for as little as $9 a month, you can have it delivered right to your door 6 days a week. And with every subscription, you have immediate access to the paper's online edition at no extra cost. So if you're into high school sports, the Fort Bend Herald's sports pages are for you. To subscribe, go to fbherald.com, pay online to activate your subscription. You can also begin receiving the Fort Bend Herald by calling 281-342-4474. That's the Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892.
You're listening to Live George Ranch High School Football with Chris Elliott and Jason. You're listening to Live George Ranch High School. You're listening to Live George Ranch High School Football with Chris Elliott and Jason Ford on GRHS iRadio.
It's a master mix, folks. We're mixing it up from high atop the press box at Crump Stadium, A-Leaf ISD. Jay Ford and I are in here slapping it up as the Horns net their third district victory of the season. I beg your pardon.
Is that their fourth victory?
Fourth district victory.
4-1. I beg your pardon. The Horns move to 4-4 overall, 4-1 in district, and they have just Strake again. I believe that's next Thursday. It is Thursday night at the trailer, and it is Halloween, so that'll be a spooky occasion.
Yeah, the Horns did what they needed to do tonight. They needed to come out here, win this one, and basically secure that fourth playoff spot in the district. And look, the reality is, if they could potentially, if they come up short against both Strake and Pearland, they could potentially finish at 4-6 and yet still sneak into the playoffs based on their district record. And look, when you make it to the playoffs, everyone's slate is wiped clean, and you're 0-0 going into the playoffs. So, look, you do what you need to do. They came out here. All the things that Coach Cavallo talked about with you pregame, I think they were able to do. They made plays in special teams. They established the line of scrimmage. They ran the football effectively. A good win for the Horns. And, the Rams stayed in it for a little while, and then they sort of shot themselves in the foot with some bad penalties and some negative plays. And the Horns were able to escape with the win.
There were some sloppy moments on both sides of the ball. By and large, the special teams looked good tonight. I don't recall any major flare-ups in the special teams. Wiggum hit a number of good punts. Villa Gomez made all the PATs, several touchbacks on kickoffs. Their penalties tonight might be something to focus on in terms of cleaning up some of the loose ends out there. But by and large, all three phases, a checkbox for the Longhorns.
Yeah, I think the other thing I'd look at is defensively. I think we got a little soft against the run, especially at points there in the second half, especially in the third quarter. I think that Quincy Ivory was able to exploit us with that zone read. And so if I'm the coaches heading into the games against Strake and Pearland, defensively, I'm looking for that front seven to kind of step it up again. We want to see guys like Lovelace and Babaloa and Chris Lee sort of establish that line of scrimmage on the defensive side of the ball. And so I think that the defensive coaches will look at the film on this one and say, look, we have to be better against the run if we're going to stop the likes of Pearland and Strake Jesuit.
Well, specifically Strake Jesuit, they have Dylan Campbell, and they are a run-centric offense. They've got an oversized quarterback. They're not a team that's going to throw the ball around the lot. So that will be a point of focus going into next week. And coming into this week, Jay Ford, the Horns averaged 177 yards rushing allowed. And so I'm thinking that may have come down a little bit tonight, not a whole lot, because what success Elsick had primarily was on the ground. And we say that dual threat quarterback option is tough to defend if it's discipline on offense and the quarterback knows what he's doing and has talent. It's hard to stop, as we saw tonight.
Yeah, but you can bet next week the Crusaders are going to come in to Trailer Stadium, and they're going to look to establish that run game. They're going to look to run the football early and often, and then set up their passing game off of that. So the Horns have a couple of big tests in front of them, but again, they came out here, they did what they needed to do, they took care of business, and again, barring some sort of very, very strange scenario, I think they've basically earned a spot in the playoffs. So now you look to battle against Strake and Pearland, do what you can. But either way, they won. They won on the road. They've evened up their record at 4-4 after that 0-3 start in non-district play. So a lot of good things, a lot of positive things to talk about, but still some work to be done this season.
I agree with everything you said. In fact, I might take it a step further. The Horns might go ahead and think about treating these next two games as playoff games, as dress rehearsals for the playoffs, because they are playoff teams that you're facing. And the team you will face in the first round is probably going to be quite comparable to either Pearland or Strake. You know, we match up with 24-6A. That's the Clear Creek ISD schools of Clear Springs, Dickinson's. Most likely those two are going to go big school. Of the four teams involved in 23-6A, Strake and George Ranch will be the small school D2. So not sure who we match up with in that division. But you have a bit of a dress rehearsal for the next 2 weeks if you care to. We've hit on a number of times throughout the course of the season. One of the things I know Coach Cavallo is looking at with a young team is steady improvement.
Yeah, the other thing you want to take into consideration, certainly in that last game when we traveled to the Rig to play Pearland, is, you know, whenever you're playing Coach Tullis and his crew, there's I think, a little bit of extra motivation there. Obviously, you know, he's somebody that's very familiar with the Longhorns, and a lot of the Longhorn faithful are very familiar with him. And you always want to win a game like that, or at least put your best foot forward and play really well.
And we will leave it right there. Thursday night under the lights, the Horns get the victory, 29-13 the final. For the captain, Tom Durando, my broadcast partner, Jason Ford, and the entire GRHSIRadio.com crew, my name is Chris Elliott, bidding you a good night and reminding you it's not goodbye, it's see you later. Good night, everybody.